ever step on a nail, old rusty nail, on your foot? In case you haven't, I have. And it hurts. And I can visualize the pain. I mean, I remember back in Perry, and that was back in the 70s. We moved out of Perry in 82, so it had to have been before 82. A stepping on a nail, old rusty nail out in the, doing some remodeling. And how much that hurt. But that's just the start of what could be a big problem. If you don't keep it clean, get it cleaned and keep it clean, infection could set in. Or if you didn't get a tetanus shot, and it's not current, your tetanus shot isn't current, you could have real complications. I'm not even going to go there. But I remember when I stepped on that, the first thing they said, well, when did you have your last tetanus shot? I don't know. I was 20-some years old. Who cared about tetanus shots? So they had to look it up, and sure enough, I was good. So, but it can really ruin your day. You got to hobble around. I couldn't put real weight on that thing. It was a real pain. Sin is like a rusty nail. It hurts us. It may not be physically, but it's spiritually. It's going to hurt us spiritually. Let's look at John, the book of John, chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 14. John 5, 14. And afterward, well, I might preface this first. This is Jesus has healed the lame man. At the gate, the shepherd's gate, there was a pool, and the waters would get stirred, and people got carried in or walked in, whatever, and they would be healed of their infirmities. But this guy had nobody to carry him in, and he just sat there waiting for somebody. And Jesus comes to him, and he healed him. And after that, we see in verse 14, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And hence the title of my lesson. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. We can see in verse 6, Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be made well? Jesus could and did heal him physically. But his statement to him in verse 14, I should say, I think we can see he could heal him spiritually as well. And we see by him being in the temple that his life, he recognized what he needed to be doing, per se. But sin wasn't what made him a cripple. A lot of people asked, you know, who about things. They thought because there was sin in your life, bad things happened to you. Even his own disciples did. But that wasn't the case. But sin does cripple. It cripples us all. Spiritually. It can ruin us. And I think that's why this example is here. What a perfect example to us of what sin can do to us and how we can get well. So how does one take the cure for this crippling sin? John tells us who can help us. John, not the disciple John, tells us in the book of John, in 1 John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And the John here is John the Baptist, we're aware of, but saying this. And he said, Jesus is the one who takes away the sins. So Acts 22:16 tells us what Ananias told Paul to do to take away his sin. Acts 22:16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So his sins would be washed away through baptism. And we also see on the day of Pentecost, the crowd there asking Peter and the 11 what they needed to do in Acts 2:36-38. Acts 2:36-38, Peter talking with them. He says, "Therefore, let all the houses of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Baptism was what was going to take away their sins, he told them. Now, I know, and I'm sure most of us know, that baptism isn't the only thing we need to do. There are other steps that have to be involved. We know that we have to hear, we have to believe. We saw here that we had to repent. We have to confess. And then we have to be baptized. But it is this baptism that washes away our sins. Remember that rusty nail wound? We have to keep it clean to keep out the infection. Well, we got to keep our lives clean too, to keep from sin infecting us. And God is there for us, Paul has shown us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said there, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So, God is there for us. He's faithful. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you in Hebrews. And he said that he's nothing that you've ever been tempted with is not uncommon. Everybody's experienced it some point in their life. Or somebody has. It's not something new. And it's not going to be anything that you really can't bear. And he will make a way of escape. There's a way to escape this temptation, but it's up to us to take it. You can go down the road this way, or you can go over here and ignore it. It's up to you. Do you go straight and get into the temptation, or do you take the path that Jesus has given you and God and get away from that temptation? It's your choice. The way of escape's there. But we can fail and fall. Just as John points out in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he told us, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for us, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. John told these people he was writing to them, I'm writing to you so you won't sin. Letting you know the devil's out there. The world's out there. It will tempt us. But if you do, know that you've got an advocate. You've got somebody there for you. He went to the cross for you. He paid the price. Not for us alone, but the whole world. First John chapter 1 and verse 9 gives us the antibiotic. If you get infected, you take an antibiotic usually. First John 1 9 gives us that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, confessing our sins is the antibiotic. And he will cleanse us. That's what an antibiotic does. It cleanses the infection, if you would. And so will confessing our sin. And Peter tells us of this antibiotic as well in him talking in Acts chapter 8 and verse 32. Acts chapter 8 and verse 32, Peter's talking to Simon the sorcerer. And Simon has tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, thinking it was something he could buy. And verse 22 we see here, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. There again, the antibiotic is repenting, confessing your sins, and praying about it. If we allow to sin to continue to infect us. That worst thing that Jesus spoke of in John 5, it will happen to us. As Peter states in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Just what Jesus told the lame man. So James chapter 1, verse 15 gives us the consequences. If you keep letting sin infect you, James 1:15, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Spiritual death. That worst thing that you're going to get, that you're going to receive, is spiritual death. Remember the scripture reading Brian read? They're going to go away to everlasting torment. We can see as well the consequences recorded for us in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll look at verses 26 and 7. Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. If we keep letting sin infect us, there no longer remains a sacrifice for it. But what does going to be there? The fearful expectations of judgment. And an unpretty judgment, what's it say? Fiery indignation. Indignation is not a pleasant thing. Fiery is not pleasant, leading in this here. It isn't going to be pleasant. And what are we called that those that are doing this? Adversaries. You're adversaries of God if we keep doing this. Paul spells out pretty much the same results in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, and we're going to look at verse 23 there. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin will condemn you, but a life in the Lord will bring you eternal life. There's the bright side. Got to get sin cleansed. We all sin and fall short. We can confess and repent of those things and make it right, and we can be with the Lord and have that eternal life with Him. To conclude, a rusty nail can really hurt your foot. Like I said, it was the 70s, and I still can remember the pain I experienced from that. It makes your life miserable, but not near as bad as what sin can do for one's eternal life. Are we going to let sin ruin us? Are we going to let sin keep us from eternal life? It will. We just saw the scriptures. That's God's word. That's God telling us these things. I didn't draw the conclusion. It's right there. Anybody can read it and see it. So the opportunity is yours today. You can make sin right in your life by repenting of it. If it's a public nature, you can confess it before others and make it right. If it's just private, you confess it before God and make it right with Him. Repent of that thing in your life that might be wrong, so we can all have a life with Jesus and God in heaven. The opportunity is ours as we stand and we sing the song that was selected.